they tore down. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another Mocha Mob Monday. Thank you for joining us this morning for 60 Minutes with Mocha Mob. I have some awesome, wonderful guests in the studio today who have come to join me for a conversation. And we have our lovely producer is back looking all tanned and relaxed and rested from straight from the Tom Joyner cruise. Fantastic voyage. OMG. She had a fantastic time. So be sure you tune in for the 60 Minutes. I guarantee you, you won't want to miss our topics today. So write this number down, 214-317-4855. Again, that's 214-317-4855. Hopefully somebody will remind me to say that a couple times throughout the show because I generally will forget. Or you can hit me up on Mocha Mob on Twitter at Mocha Mob, or, of course, on my Facebook page. So I am going to introduce or tell you who my guests are. I let them tell you a little bit more about themselves, but they're two lovely ladies I just love. And we've already talked about one of them. You may not recognize her because she's trying to clean up her act a little bit for the 60 Minutes. No, I said, no, be who you are. Be who you are. Today's show is called Conversations with My Daughter. I don't have a daughter, so why am I having this conversation? Because I need to know what moms are telling their girls about being girls, about being ladies, because I'm raising boys. And why would the conversation be important for me? Because one day, their daughter may date my sons. How about that?
Wouldn't that How about that?
I say, I know your people. Your mama's good people.
Bring it on.
So, good morning, Tommy. Tell us who you are.
Good morning. It's Erica. Yeah. Chat with my daughter, mother of Sydney, the ultimate five-year-old. What? Going on 15.
And she is a mini me of her mom. Mini version. And who else?
Hello, this is Denisha. I am the mother of two, Mackenzie 7. And I actually have a boy, Michael, 4. So I can go from both perspectives if I need to.
Bring it on.
She's got her bases covered. So right. I'm excited about today's show just because I think it's a much needed topic. Very fun. Last night I did some tweeting on Twitter, just kind of asking some questions, posing some questions to moms. Got some great responses, and I'll share those as we go through the show. But would love for you to join us this morning in this conversation as you're tuning in online, that you can also call us at 214-317-4855. So, ladies, obviously I'm raising two boys. One of you is raising one girl, and one of you is raising one girl and one boy. So, Denisha, I think we'll start off this morning just talking about your unique perspective on the differences you've seen so far in raising your son versus raising your daughter. And the reason I say that is because people have told me that girls are much easier to raise when they're younger, but get more difficult as they get older. And so boys are more difficult as they're when they're younger, but get easier as they get older.
Let me see. My daughter has been difficult since the day she came out the womb. So I have not
seen the easy.
Right, so the easy part has not gotten easier for me. I think if anything, it's gotten harder for me as a mom of a very strong-willed daughter. My son, so easy. So I think he might learn from his sister and kind of what she does not to do it. But I can probably get on him about two or three times and he'll settle down. With her, I can get on her two or three times and we might get to the 10th time and we're still talking about the same topic. So I feel like for her, my daughter in particular, it may not be for everybody's daughter, but mine, she has been difficult since the day she came out the womb. And she came out the womb kicking and screaming. And now at 7, she's still kicking and screaming.
She is.
But now, if at first you were just kicking air, now
it's
kicking
butt,
taking names. Right.
So well, that's interesting. So maybe she's going to do the reverse. Maybe she's difficult as she's younger, but as she gets older, she'll improve.
I pray so. Because
we're gonna pray
that. Yeah. Because I have a really smart daughter. And I mean, she has a lot of personality. She's a really good-hearted, good-spirited child, good-natured child, really, in essence. It's just she has her moments of strong willingness and defiance that is a little bit overboard at times. So
wow.
I think eventually she will probably calm down. But you know how you have a child that's built for greatness and you want to see them be great. Mm-hmm. So I that's what we're working on, is building her to greatness. So.
But we've also had a conversation a few times that we think that she's just super talented and super right. smart. And she has an independent streak in her that really is going to take her to
right.
really high levels. Right. She really is.
Okay, so where does she get this personality? Where does this strong disposition come from?
I think the spirit of her ancestors.
politically correct.
The spirit of her ancestors caused her to be. No, I think she does get it from me. I can see myself and Mackenzie being her age and doing a lot of the same things that Mackenzie does. I did them in school. I always talked all the time. So I constantly got in trouble in school about that, but I could do my work. Uh-huh. So I'm like, well, if I can do the work, why can't I talk?
But so what did your mom say? Does your mom say, oh my God, that is so you?
No. My mother does not say that, but my mother does have a very strong opinion of how she feels Mackenzie should be raised. Yeah. Wow. And she probably thinks I'm not hard enough and consistent enough with Mackenzie.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Erica, let's talk about the disposition of your only child. And you don't have anything to compare it to, but you have friends that have both, such as right. myself and Denisha. What do you see as being some of the major differences in how you have to raise your daughter or her personality traits versus those of us who have sons or people you know who are raising boys?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting to watch the little boys and the little girls, even in her classroom. Mm-hmm. Even her teacher will come up and talk about how the girls are a little quicker to catch on. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're also just trying to get ahead of the boys just to be cute, believe it or not, at this young age. But they tend to learn it quicker. They grasp concepts much quicker. And, you know, they're ready to be nurturers of their community, believe it or not. It's really interesting to find the little girls at such a very young age they want to take care of. You know, and if I look at Sydney's class and the girls in the class, they're all about taking care of not only just their classmates, but, you know, there are times that Sydney wants to take care of me. And, I, you know, sometimes I got to check her. You know.
Okay.
You know, every so often you got to be like an adult 5-year-old. Pay the bills, doesn't. You know, those sorts of things.
But you know what else you see? Sydney has a lot of girlfriends. Like, you have a lot of girls that are around Sydney, too. So just even that. Do you see difference in them?
Well, you know what? Yeah, there's probably a level of difference, but there's more similarity than difference right now. Mm. There really is. And I make it a point to have her girlfriends over for us to be able to spend time, for her to have girl time. Because one of the things I'm really trying to encourage for her is for her to have those relationships that's going to support her, you know, past the time that I'm here. Because one of the, you know, I guess guilt factors that I have as a mother of an only child mm-hmm. who's a daughter is that I want to make sure that she has a strong foundation of people who are going to build her up so that if I or her dad happen to not be here, that she has those girlfriends who are going to support her. And there is definitely a difference between girlfriend support and male support, you know, husband, you know, or even male friends. Yeah. You know, there's things that you can say to your girlfriend that you can't say to a guy friend.
Right.
There are things that your girlfriend's going to understand that a guy friend is not going to understand. And so I want her to have that foundation. And at the same time, as a mom, I want those girls around me so that those influences, I see them first, or they come and talk to me first, and then I know what she's experiencing. It's really right. important for me.
You know what? And that's you've answered an unasked question for me. And what I mean is I observe and watch, you know, moms and how they raise their kids. And one of the things that I've noticed about you is that you are so willing to have other kids come over. Oh, yeah, come on. Bring them. Come on. And I'm like, oh, I got two already. I don't need no more. Keep going. I get almost kind of overwhelmed with, you know, adding kids, although it's not much more work mm-hmm. than what I'm already doing. But I noticed with you, it's like the more kids, the better. And you seem to handle it in stride. But now I understand, one, she's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you are doing it because of a purpose. You're trying to make sure that you are purposely putting her with people who can be that strong support system. Whoever knew that parenting was so difficult that you have to be so forward thinking?
Who knew? Absolutely. Oh, but, wow. You know, I do. There's purpose behind all of her playmates. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them bring their own uniqueness to Sydney's life. I want to make sure that she's experiencing the world, you know, that she doesn't think that being an only child is the only life that she's going to have and it's mm-hmm. all about her. Mm-mm. Mm. We ain't working like that around mm. here. It's not just about her. And then I want her to be able to love unconditionally and be able to share that with other people. And having those friends is really important. And, you know, the other part of it is that I have as much fun with those kids as Sydney does. Very seriously.
You really do.
We actually had a little sleepover this weekend. So, you
see
know,
what I'm saying? I wish I would. Okay.
We had so much fun. So five little girls, mm-hmm. ages 4 to 7. Mm-hmm. Honey, they were teaching me to dance. We had a little dance off in there. We had a little fashion show. We didn't even know we were going to have one. You know, they want me to come and watch the movie with them. And I like Disney just as much as everybody else. So we really do. I have a lot of fun with them. And then they, you know, they want me to be in there and be a part of what they're doing. So, yeah.
And that kind of helps with the whole mommy guilt of only having one child. Right. Okay, so this is a good place to segue into my next question. For the both of you. Okay, so her friends or play dates are with a purpose. You're trying to make sure that you are aware of what influences these girls are bringing. How do you prepare your daughter at this age for what's to come later? And let me explain to you what I mean. We know how girls can become. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic that they can start off being such great friends, but by the time they're 12, 13, 15, 16, they're calling each other names.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare them today for what may come down the road with the behavior of girls?
Well, you know, their friends are already doing it. Just
wow.
So you know, at 5.
Okay.
And it's extremely juvenile, and it's not as bad as it's going to get. But you still have you hear those conversations of, well, I'm not your friend. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like you. I mean, even at 5. It happens.
And I've never heard my boy say that about to another kid. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It's over the, I want to play with the baby doll and you won't give it to me. Mm. I want to play in the home center and I want to be the cook and you're not going to let me.
I want to be the teacher.
I want to be the teacher and, you know, you be the student. But here's what's interesting is they fix it. I don't have to walk in the room.
Okay.
Very rarely do I have to walk in the room and say, you know, that's not how we're going to do it.
Okay.
They will go to their own little corners, do their own little thing, be in their own little worlds, and then come back together literally like 2 minutes later. So I'm like, come on, can we go play? You change the diaper and you do what you need to do. So they're already teaching that to themselves.
Okay.
Now, there's definitely opportunity where Sydney may come to me after the friends are gone and say, you know, somebody hurt her feelings, and then we have conversation about that. And I'm one of those keep it real moms. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I keep it very real. And I have to tell her, listen, there are going to be people who are out there. And I want to say, you know, they're going to be haters, but I can't say that.
But that's what you really mean, right?
That's what I really mean. But at 5, you have to say things that there are going to be people who, you know, are not necessarily going to like what you like and do what you want to do, and you have to make a choice on how you're going to deal with that situation. And, you know, here are some ways that we can choose to deal with them.
I think I've learned to really show Mackenzie to support her friends and teach her not to be jealous or envious of other people. Mm. So I want her to treat her friends the same way I treat mine. Like, I love my friends and will do anything for them. My husband complains. He's like, you do more for your friends than other folks. But the same way, I might not have been the only child, but I was the only girl, and I was so many years apart from my brother. That's all I had was my friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were my friends. So I really try to make sure I teach Mackenzie to encourage her friends and be a support to her friends and not be envious of them. And I mean, they do get into those little spats of, this is my best friend, this isn't my best friend. And I know eventually down the line they'll get into that a little bit more envious trait. But I feel like that's a lot of what women go through. And if we can kind of side curve that now, she'll be okay later on with people.
And it's funny that you say that, because we just had a conversation with the little 5-year-old crew we had together that we're talking about a certain little boy in their classroom who they are all in love with. And he tends
to talked about him.
Yes.
Was that the one
have.
I saw with the piano recital this
yes. weekend? Yes. And he is something else. I mean, even to me, you know, he comes up and wants to hug, give me sugar, and I'm just like, yeah, I see how this is all working.
Right.
But he, you know, has sort of put himself out there, and the girls are like, no, he's mine, and he's mine, and he's mine. However, five. But these girls, for somehow, some way, now this is not me, this is just them dealing with it, have all come to the conclusion that he really ain't all that.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And he just happens to be over there with her. But he'll be my friend next week. Okay, girls, that's what I'm talking about. Do you?
Okay, right. So they've come to that conclusion without any influence from the keeping it real mommy.
Without any influence. I mean, I know who he is.
Right.
And, you know, I say things like, you know, he's
What do you say?
I try to minimize.
What do you say?
The importance.
He ain't all that cute.
No, I say that he is extremely cute, but it's not all about, you know, being just with him, being his friends. Did you have other friends? But they came to that conclusion on their own. And he will be back, is what they.
You know what's amazing, Mackenzie. I've never heard Mackenzie. I've only heard Mackenzie talk about one boy. She is so into herself. Ooh. That she doesn't. That doesn't like. She doesn't talk about little boys at school. If anything, she cannot stand them because they're always bothering her. But she is very like. Number one, why are you bothering me? And number two, why are you bothering me, making me have to think about what you're doing and not what I'm doing? Mackenzie is very self-centered. So I don't have those conversations. Like, I've never had a conversation with her about boys. Maybe one little boy.
And she's seven.
She's really so.
I would like to talk to you 3 to 5 years.
Right. Right. Let's see how self-centered she is.
Okay. So, interesting enough, I have this question. Erica, Denisha, when you start having these conversations, Erica, now that you are having these conversations, how do you communicate with your daughter about boys without browbeating,
right?
Downgrading men, without, because you know you're like, okay, he's a player. But you can't tell a 5-year old that, but you do want her to understand and be able to recognize that. Because I know I'm listening to you, and I'm like, as my 7-year old said to me last night, "Epic fail, epic fail." I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I want, as I see them, you know, showing interest in girls, I'll think to myself, she a floozy, or no, she didn't. You know,
oh my
goodness. And I know at some point I'm going to be saying those things you know, she was over there with that boy yesterday. Baby, leave her alone. I have to kind of,
or the way she looks,
or we'll even say, the way she, or the fact that I am raising boys. And from what I understand, the girls will probably be more aggressive because they're usually 2 to 4 years ahead.
Right.
So how is it that you kind of educate your daughter about different characteristics of boys without degrading them?
So, you know what? I stay true to their characteristics is what I do. Okay. Is that I will recognize the positive in him. I will recognize the friendship that he's brought to Sydney, for sure. I will do that. And then, you know, I'll rechannel it. I really will. I will rechannel it and move it along. But I have to say that for Sydney, that she's involved in like soccer, which is a co-ed team. And so she's, you know, around the boys. And so she's not so infatuated by it. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps. Okay. That I don't make it like you know, you shouldn't, blah, 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 blah. We don't do that.
Right.
You know, she has that around her and that community around her of young boys. And, you know, most of the time she's like, I know, you know, I have 5 other boys on my soccer team and you really aren't all that.
And that's too funny because I think I take the same approach with my boys, is that I don't make it such a, you know, taboo kind of thing. But my youngest, my 3-year-old, I'm kind of thinking I need to start the whole conversation about girls have cooties, because he's fascinated with girls at 3. And Erica is a super mom because she is the soccer coach for her daughter's team. And so I saw her Saturday as she was coming off the field. We were getting ready to go on the field. But what is so funny is the 3-year-old is playing soccer, and it's a co-ed team. And at one point, he was, you know, on a timeout, taking a rest break, and he was sitting on the bench. And I look at him, and he's looking at this little girl, like, in her face. Oh. I mean, like, they're like, you know. And she turns around and looks at him, and she moves, like, slides down because she doesn't want him that close. He gets up and moves closer. So then they start playing this game where and my dad was there. I was like, look at this kid, get him. And my dad said, y'all got your hands full. So he's just overly fascinated with girls. The first game they had, he was on the soccer field, and another team was huddled up, and his team had gone on down the soccer field, and he was over in their huddle because he was looking at this little girl. And I was like, oh, wow, okay.
But you know how I teach Mackenzie? So Mackenzie doesn't have that. It comes from her dad.
Yes.
So Mackenzie's example of a man is her daddy. So I have to teach. Mackenzie how to respect her father, because she looks at him a certain way. And so if he's not doing something immediately, she'll be like, "Ooh, daddy's lazy," or "Ooh, daddy's this." So see, I have to instill in her the respect of a man. not in respect of a boy. It comes from the respect of a man, because that's the boy she's seeing. It's her daddy. So it's really a different story. I have to teach her how to respect her daddy, but not baby her brother. And see, so I get it from both worlds. So I'm having to teach her a fine balance of that. Yes, you do. We must respect men. We have to respect all people. But at the same time, we don't baby them.
Okay. And, so y'all know we keep it real. So let me ask you this question. Do you think that when she's exhibiting that behavior of a lack of respect for her father, it comes from maybe what she's observed you doing?
Well, maybe a little bit. I will say maybe a little bit, but I also
that's keeping it real, right, for real.
But I also put her in check. So when she's doing something like that and she's not getting the response from her daddy that she wants, I check her right there in front of her father, but I also tell him, you got to check her.
Right.
Like, you have to check her also, but then you also have to make sure that the time you spend with her is quality time that allows her to understand and be blessed and around you and what you're doing. So it's some of that, but it's really, I have to teach her not to baby her brother, because then I don't want her to get older and try to baby.
And is it babying or is it that nurturing that Erica talked about at the beginning?
Oh, it's a little bit of both.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of nurturing, but it's also a little bit of, oh, baby brother, let me come and hold you. Let me get your food. Oh, let me. Okay. Yeah.
And he's going to expect women to do that.
Right.
Because his sister did it.
Right.
And the reason I asked that question was because I do know in my house, I have that same problem with even my boys, is teaching them that there is a respect for their father. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm trying to figure out how many boys do I have. I'm like, did you pick your socks up?
Right.
And so when they hear me say that to dad, they'll say, daddy didn't even pick his socks up. And right. I'm like, I don't need no cosigners.
Right. Right.
So
thank
I'm going to need you to. Yes. But you're absolutely right. I do have to look at dad and say, that's not for me to check.
Right.
They can't come and say that to me.
Right.
And so you're absolutely right. And that's why I asked that question. Mm-hmm. Okay. So speaking of dads and daughters, y'all are both like smiling. I know, obviously being, you know, raised as a girl, now I'm mommy. I understand and know the importance of a dad in a girl's life from that personal perspective. But I also know the importance of a dad in a girl's life from my professional perspective as an educator, how that translates into the classroom, how that translates in their self-esteem. Talk to me about how each of you have established or nurture the relationship, the development of the relationship between the dad and the daughter.
Well, I would say that mine is unique, but probably not as unique, because we are a commuter family. Mm-hmm. So my husband's out of town Monday through Friday and then comes home on the weekends. So the weekend is really all about dad. And so there's an extreme nurturing that happens in 72 hours that he's there. So it's extremely important. I am a daddy's girl. I am older than 5 years old and younger than 50. And to this day, you can't talk about my daddy. If he needs something, I'm going to be the first one to drive down to go and make sure that's all taken care of. And so I know how important that is. And I want Sydney to have that relationship, because it does do a few things personally, you know, that's your first love,
right?
You know, you learn from that. Professionally, my dad was a military man, and so he brought me up to be, you know, pretty independent and pretty aggressive and all that good stuff. And so I really wanted to pursue greatness because of that relationship. And so I want to make sure that Sydney has that. So on the weekends, you know, Friday night, 8 o'clock, it's all about dad. What, you know, dad is doing, go in there and spend time with dad, you know, having conversation with my husband to say, I really want you to have some just private time with Sydney so that you all can have that relationship. And then when she has those moments that she needs to be checked, oh, I'm checking, you know, and then I will say to him, you need to make sure that you check that as well. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that she's not going to do is she's not going to come out of my house talking to people like that. Mm-hmm. And if she can do that to her dad or even to her mom, then who knows what she's going to do out there in the real world. And the real world will break you down if you don't know how to deal with it. So it's extremely important to me. My daddy-daughter relationship is, you know, now to this day, you can't do anything. If there's something going on, I'm going to be the first one who's there. And I have an older brother. And so, you know, it's just significant, extremely significant for me.
Well, I wasn't raised with my father, so it causes two different issues. I'm now a daddy's girl now that I've gotten a relationship with him. But then growing up, it wasn't there. So for Mackenzie, I definitely do strive to make sure that her and her daddy do things together and that she knows that she can go to her daddy to ask him questions. But also, like I always tell him, it's your job to keep your boys from prison and your daughter off the pole. But it's also but it's also your job to keep your son from becoming a kingpin and your daughter a madam. So at the same time that I'm not trying to encourage him, you know, I want them to go into greatness, but not greatness in a negative way. I need them to go into greatness in a positive way. So I do a little bit of both, but I definitely try to make sure that he spends that quality time with both his children, his son and his daughter, in a way that is meaningful. And it's not just we sitting in front of a TV watching television together. That is something more than that. So,
and you know what is encouraging for me is I love to hear the conversation between Sydney and her dad. And they do. And they have the different conversation than Sydney and Sydney, I.
Right.
You know, Sydney and I'm the bad guy because, you know, course, it's just us. And right. I have to make sure and, you know, check out those good things. And he will every so often. But she'll also open up to him about, you know, just funny things that she won't do to me. And it doesn't bother me. I think it's great. I want her to have that conversation. I want her to have that other side that she goes and talks to him about that's not talking to me so that she can get that male perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, keeping it on the real, I want her to come back and talk to me about the real stuff. Just FYI, right. Putting it out there.
But, you know, I think dads sometimes need to know how to, like, I have to tell my husband, you got to find a way to talk to your daughter, too. Right. You got to figure out what's the best way to communicate with her so that you're not so rough, because my husband can be a little bit rough, and I'm like, wait, you can't say that to her. You need to kind of tone it down a little bit for her. But yeah, but at the same time, he needs to be rough with her because nobody else is going to treat her softly either, you know. So,
and that's interesting because I do know, talking from with my educator hat on, that girls who have that positive, strong relationship with their father perform better academically, or more socially integrated, are experience higher levels of achievements. And it's notable because you see the opposite so often, more so than you see the effect and impact of a positive daughter daddy relationship. The thing I think is really interesting is, and I'm not sure why, there are so many fathers that just don't get it. That you said it, that a daddy has to be that first love, and it has to be that positive, uplifting, reinforcing love, because otherwise, if a daddy doesn't tell a daughter how much he loves her and how beautiful she is, she will fall for the first man who does.
Absolutely. And you know what? We say you're beautiful and you're pretty and all of that so that she's not seeking it outside of our home. For sure. Because the first one that talks about how cute she is and she wasn't receiving that at home, oh, she's going to be in love. And then I'm going to have to break him down and, you know, cause some problems because she thinks that that's what's important. You know, so we make it a point. I was actually going to bring that up that, you know, we talk about loving her and an unconditional love and providing that love, but at the same time, talking about how pretty she is. What's interesting about my daughter is that she has a head full of hair. I mean, like a lot of hair that could probably send me into weeping right now, but I won't do that. And she doesn't think it's pretty. She thinks because the other little girls have, you know, hair that's not as thick and the little ponytails aren't as thick, that that's prettier than what she has. And so I have to make it a point, you know, as I'm pulling hair every morning to say how beautiful her hair is, because she's already receiving out in that world something else. And she's getting some other message behind what her hair looks like. And so we, you know, talk about those things. If she starts to point out things, and right now it's just about her hair. If she points out things that, you know, she's not happy with, or she thinks somebody else is better than her, we really make it a point to say, no, that your hair is beautiful. It is gorgeous. No, no. And it, and part of it, I have to, you know, put this little preface in there, is that she don't like to get her hair combed. And so if she sees her little friend getting a hair comb and it's not as hard to comb the hair, then she thinks that's better.
She thinks there's something wrong with her.
And you know what I always do with Mackenzie? I always let her know, number one, she's smart and she's beautiful. I always want to let her know, number one, you're smart and you can put your mind to anything you want to and that you're beautiful. But Mackenzie will get to the school, but I realize that I have to, as a mother, you've got to build up the self-esteem of your girls and your boys in a way that makes them understand what's important, because if you don't, you will find those issues of where they're seeking attention in other places. And even though I wasn't raised with my father, I had a grandfather and I had a godfather that were my, those were my daddies. So when I got married, it was my godfather that I was leaning on, not my daddy. So, you know, it's those things that you have to really think about for a daughter, to raise her in a way that's going to build her up and know that even if she is getting teased, that that's just a moment in time and that it will continue to move on.
I will say that in my professional career, I've been in a number of situations where I've seen, as I said, the ill effects of the lack of a positive relationship with the dad. And I will say, working for the juvenile justice system, one of the campuses I oversaw was a runaway mm-hmm. shelter. And that obviously the majority of the kids in the runaway shelter were girls. The majority of them that ran away were running to be with the boy. Mm. And the majority of the girls who were running away to be with the boy had an absence of a father, physically or emotionally. Mm. Not just, you know, I've known situations where dads have been in the home.
Right.
But there's also been a son, and the dad spends more time and appears to value the time spent with the son more so than the daughter. Because I think what I've seen with parents who have both mm-hmm. is that generally the dad will take on the responsibility of the son mm-hmm. and the mother takes on the responsibility of the daughter. But what happens is that daughter needs that dad and that son needs that mom. So I think that's kind of interesting. Erica, you were talking about hair and I thought it was funny. Here's, you know, where we could have a conversation together all day long about this, because that is something that I deal with in my house. If you know my boys, they have lots of hair, especially my oldest, extreme hair. And we went through that whole period where he hated his hair. But his hair is what makes him so unique.
Right.
And we actually cut it at age 2. And it just wasn't his personality. We're just like, oh, it doesn't even look like the same kid. but I have to explain to people, because they're so, adults can be so cruel. People look at me like, when are you going to cut his hair? Well, first of all, he gets paid for that look. We have a contract. Okay?
Bring it on.
So as long as the contract states that that's the look they pay us for, he will have that hair. Now, at the point in which he says, I'm done. I'm over this. Then we'll cut it. But there was a period of time for about 6 to 9 months that every time I touched his hair, I had to reinforce how wonderful his hair was or is. And I say to him now, oh, mommy, wish she had your hair. I mean, to do the twist is a 3-hour process.
Yes, right.
And he hates it. It's grueling. And I keep saying at any day now, he's going to say, all right, time out.
No,
it's enough for this. But last night, as I'm rushing to get it done, he's like, I can't wait till you get finished. I can't wait till you get finished. I said, well, anytime you want to cut it, just let mommy know. Because I don't have girls. I have boys. But I do hair like I have girls.
Right.
Nope. The 3-year-old even sat at the barbershop, because I do send them to the barbershop with their daddy, even though they're not getting a haircut. The barber asked the 7-year-old one day. He got in the chair and she said, oh, you want your hair cut? And the 3-year-old said, no. Do not cut his hair.
Ooh.
And he was serious. And so it's like, okay, they have to understand that even with boys, it's kind of the same thing. It's ironic that it just happens to be both of our kids with hair, and they probably have equally as wild and thick hair mm-hmm. As the other. But I think it's funny that that's something that we see in both boys and in girls.
Right.
Denisha, tell me about being in a household where there's two, a boy and a girl, with the dad. Do you see that he places a priority on forging that relationship? I know Erica's situation is different because her husband has to get it done in 72 hours. But do you see, because I know moms, we're real good about creating moments and traditions and, you know, things that are just special that only mom does. Do you see that happening with dad?
No. And the reason why is because my husband's daddy was in the home, but not in the home. So it was his mommy that kind of took care of him more than anything. So he doesn't necessarily do either one of them differently. He doesn't spend more time with Michael than he does with Mackenzie. They're pretty much getting the same amount of time. That's why I say you really have to teach men how to nurture their children, both their boys and their girls. Because in his mind, he understands there's a value to nurturing Mackenzie, but he doesn't understand that there's a value to nurturing Mackenzie and a value to nurturing his son as well. So it's a learning process going on, a teaching and learning process going on in our house constantly, because for the first maybe 3 or 4 years of Mackenzie's life, maybe by the time she was 2, he worked at night. So he wasn't, it was almost like he wasn't at home, though he wasn't home. And now that he's back working in the daytime, I'm having to teach him what to do to spend that time with both his kids because he didn't have that. So,
and the reason I ask is because, you know, I always try to look outside to see the effects of not doing something or doing something. And so I'm wondering if, you know, he understands that that girl over there that he would never let his son date or would hate that his daughter would, is that way because of something that didn't occur between she and her father.
Right.
So I think it's interesting that that may be, you know, something to encourage because as a mother of boys, I certainly don't want my boys to date or marry a woman who doesn't have a positive relationship with her father.
Right.
Because I'm not sure she'll know how to treat my son, and I'm not sure if she's looking for a husband or a daddy.
Right.
And so I'm not raising my child to be some woman's daddy. I'm raising him to be someone's husband.
But we're talking about even a larger issue because you think about all the women who have sons that are single parents. Mm. You think about all the women that have daughters that are single parents. So you're not only talking about there being just a couple of kids, you're talking about an entire generation that have a lack of a father figure in their life. So that's why I think for men that are, you know, for little boys back then that are men now, they're all needing to be taught how to nurture their relationships with their children because that has been a missing component that has taken place. So I think it's for a girl or a boy, but so
can we start a class, a workshop,
right?
Let's do it.
Session or something,
right? That's what we need for
a webinar.
We need a webinar for daddies.
We can do it at the football field at the stadium. They'll come,
right?
That's true.
Right.
Cowboy Stadium with that big jumbotron that they have.
Right.
They can see it.
We can get about 100,000 men in there.
But okay, stay tuned. We're gonna hook that up, y'all. the other question I have. Or the comment to segue from that is so the importance of the dad in the relationship with the daughter, but then also how as a mom do you teach your daughters appropriate behavior? And that encompasses the gamut, that encompasses manners, language, how they carry themselves. What are you saying to your daughter? Erica, you said something earlier about your dad, you know, being military, raised you to be independent, somewhat aggressive. And when you said that, I wrote that word down because I don't think I would ever define you as aggressive, but I'm not sure what the term is. Strong? You really have an aura of power. So you are self-assured. So how do you raise your girls and what conversations are you having with your daughters at this age that helps to instill those things that will make them be ladies of character? And let me tell you my reference point and then you guys can take it from there. My sorority sisters and I have often had a conversation. Hey, y'all. About when you see women who are ill-dressed, whatever that means, too tight, too short, painted on, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always say it's a lack of self-esteem. No, I always say she's got high self-esteem. And my line sister always says it's a lack of self-esteem. Because I'm thinking, to wear that, you really got to think positive about yourself.
Right.
I mean, I look good in this. So I'm putting it on.
Right.
If I didn't have that esteem, I wouldn't put that on.
Right.
I would cover myself. So how is it that you create a balance and how do you communicate to your daughters appropriate, acceptable behavior at this age so that it translates into womanhood?
For me, I have to catch it right away, first of all. So I'm doing all of the above. I'm talking about her appearance, that she's beautiful, and then at the same time, talking about how you adorn that beauty. It's funny because this past Sunday, okay, so Sydney is, I can't say tomboy because one of our acquaintances actually taught me to say she is just a girl without limits. Okay, so she's a girl without limits.
Shared that with me a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to say she's a girl without limits. However, I'm used to the tomboy word.
Right.
But recently, she has started getting into, like, accessorizing. Mm. She actually made up a song last night about Taming your eyebrows every morning. Yes, because I have a little brush that. And she saw it. And then now she does that and all that good stuff. So then now the conversation, which is really good, I can say, absolutely, you want your eyebrows to look pretty, but that's not the only thing that makes you look pretty, right? You know, look at this. Your skin tone is so pretty, and we wash our face because we need to make sure that it stays so nice. So I need to catch it in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Super important for that to happen because you lose it, and then you don't get a chance to bring it back.
Okay.
So we talk about, you know, adornment and all that good stuff. And then Denise actually touched on it about talking about how smart they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're smart in a number of areas. You know, you're smart enough not to burp at the table. You're smart enough to, you know, sit
Wait,
still.
So does that teach you that only dumb girls burp at the table?
No.
Okay, well, I was just asking because I was, I burped at the table before.
No,
okay,
but that, she's burping at the table. No, don't. Let me tell you that she's burping and doing some other things at the table. But.
Sounds like my voice.
Which, that's why I say, you know, girl without limits.
Right.
But, you know, you have to really catch them right then and have that conversation right at that moment in time. And I want her to, you know, be able to present herself like a lady. And you have to. I have to sometimes catch myself and realize she's 5.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So there's only so much of the, you know, crossing at the ankles as Marla on, anyway, doing that sort of thing, you know, and, you know, not having your elbows on the table. Mm-hmm. It's all going to come, but it's also that she has to watch me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to make sure, and my husband is really good about that. He's like, you know, she is watching you. And I'm like, you know, you're absolutely right. So I have to, you know, make sure that I'm doing what I want her to be able to mirror and do later on down the road. Because we were all at that event, right, where we were like, I wish she would walk out the house looking like that.
Mm.
But
I
if you don't
there,
never,
but I heard about it.
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I need to make sure that what she sees in me is, you know, there's a shortness that can happen mm-hmm. and a tightness that can happen, but you got to make sure that it is respectful of you and the people that are around you.
Yeah. And Mackenzie is a girly girl. So Mackenzie already wants to wear earrings, lip gloss, accessories, but she loves dresses. So she always wants to walk out the house with a dress. And so some of her clothes have become too small, and that's what she wants to wear because it's still the dress look. So we have to come around and say, you know, hey, Mackenzie, you know, you can't come out the house looking like that because, you know, it's showing too much of this, or, you know, that's just too tight, sweetheart, and you can't wear that. But other than that, Mackenzie does a pretty good job of picking out kind of what she wants to wear and how she's going to look for the day, but she always wants to look presentable. So she won't leave the house without her hair being combed. She won't leave the house without her clothes being in order. Like, she's like, are you going to comb my hair before we leave the house?
I'm not leaving the house looking
right,
like this.
Right. And okay. I only had to catch her one time because she wanted to put on some shorts with a t-shirt and some little boots. I said, no. You look like you're going to the kids.
See?
I said, oh, no, ma'am, not.
Now,
no,
that's
no,
your first one, because no, by the time you get through that first one, when that second one wants to do, you're like, go on, come on, let's go.
Right.
come on.
For your boys. Just go.
Yeah.
So, Mackenzie's pretty girly about everything, so I just have to talk to her about as her body is developing. That's my conversation.
That's huge.
My conversation is your body is developing.
Okay.
And so since your body is developing, we need to make sure that we're doing certain things to either not hide it, but to not accentuate it. You know, because Mackenzie is definitely a shapely child. I was a shapely child when I was younger, but she's shapely for 7. So to be shapely, you know, you really have to make sure that you're putting her in clothes that don't accentuate.
Are you teaching modesty?
Yes. That's why she can't wear tight stuff. You know, she wants to,
Okay.
Oh, short. And my mother-in-law will buy her stuff that is like, we'll buy her stuff that is a little bit too short, I think, at times. Like the short shorts. I'm like, no, you can't wear that. But grandma bought it. Just because grandma bought it doesn't mean it's acceptable for you to wear. It just means she bought it.
And that's when you start teaching her how to accessorize with leggings and tights.
Putting all the other things.
So you are having the conversation about when you're wearing a dress, keep your legs closed.
Keep shorts on underneath it.
Yes.
You need to have some tights on. It's the wintertime. All that stuff.
You know, Cheryl, what's unique to our culture, that's a cultural thing as well, because we're, you know, tend to be a little more shapely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you really have to teach it early because we have curves and shaking on the good stuff. And so we need to teach them how to love their body first, because there will never be a time that I will tell Sydney, you know, you're ugly or, you know, your body's not right because of whatever. I'm going to say that's your body. Right. And we're going to love it where it is right now. But also, we can do some things to manage, you know, the body that you're blessed with.
Would you tell her it was ugly if she came with a tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-
time and told us that we need to find an appropriate place to have that and to whatever we're going to. And I would hope that she would come talk to me prior to doing that.
I hope she takes me with her. Play what?
Right.
I want one.
Right.
I have to
Y'all
say
know
that.
Who that is, right?
Right. I just want her. Yeah,
that
I
was not me or Danisha.
Right. But I'd want her. I want her to feel comfortable enough to talk to me before she did it. Because I did see a girl at a formal event. They had the biggest tattoo on her back in a formal looking dress, and I know she was still in high school. Uh-huh. And I was like, Who let you do that? But when you have mommies that are 30, 35, and you know, you got the kids at 15, 30.
Okay.
Right. 30, right. You're right. I'm giving them some age.
That segues to my next comment that I get excited talking to the two of you about the potential of being a mother-in-law, because I now understand clearly that any girl that my son chooses to date, I can pretty much look at the mom mm-hmm. and kind of know what's being put mm-hmm. in her. Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, if I had the 30-year-old mom mm-hmm. here who was still in the club doing right. her thing, the conversation would be different. So when right. I said, are you teaching modesty? She probably would have said, what's that?
Right.
Because I do know as a teacher, I taught before the days of classroom, you know, class okay. uniforms.
Right.
I taught before then. So that mm-hmm. tells you how old I am. And we would have these girls that would be dressed so inappropriately, and we would call a parent, a mom, to come and bring a change of clothes, mm-hmm. and the mother would come wearing the same outfit in a
right.
different color.
Right, right, yeah.
And so
right.
you just like, okay,
well,
baby,
why
on.
Are you bringing
the? So I just stopped calling the parent. I just kept sweats and sweatshirts in my
right.
closet and said, baby, you need to go in there and do a wardrobe
right.
change because
right.
it's not going to work.
Right.
So I appreciate that there are moms who are still out there teaching modesty, because I'm teaching my boys how to be gentlemen mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I want them to recognize ladies.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I will know how to teach them how to recognize the other.
Right.
I'm sure those girls will do their own part in
right.
getting that recognition. So the other thing is you said something about Mackenzie is really girly.
Right.
And I would agree with that. Would you say you're girly?
No.
Okay.
No.
Erica, would you say you're girly?
Yes.
And would you say Sydney's girly?
No. The only thing that's extremely girly about Sydney, seriously, she likes to get her nails done. Uh-huh. However, her nails need to be like tiger nails or, you know, extra designs.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going.
She has to have that on. But the other girly part, like, you know, anyway, Danisha and... You all know me and how I, you know, put my stuff on and got to have my pumps working
right.
and all that good stuff. Mm-mm. Sydney's like, can I put a pair of jeans on and a t-shirt? And I'm like, no! Can you please put
right.
on a dress? We were going to church yesterday. Yesterday. I had her stuff picked out. She's going to be so cute. Huh. And she says to me, can she put on jeans?
Save
I was
that
like,
for Easter, Mom.
No, you may really? Not put on those jeans. We are putting on this dress.
Are you
dress.
Saying she's not as pretty in jeans?
She is just as pretty in jeans, but she going old school with her mama to church and she's putting on a dress.
Do you right. still wear nylons to church?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I was about to.
No,
but you know what, though? Because you're going to see, Mackenzie has a habit. If I pick out something for Mackenzie, Mackenzie say, that doesn't look good with my complexion. Or
Ooh.
I don't, or it's showing my arms and I don't know if I want that. Like, she has a unique way of what she thinks looks good on her already. So she's like,
wow.
Oh, I can't wear that because that's not going to look nice on me. Or do you know that dress that I have that has this and that? That's the one that I'm looking for that I want to wear. So I can take Mackenzie to the mall and she's already going through picking out. Oh, I like this, 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 and that. Oh, I'm going to put these two together. But she wants to be a fashion designer. So Mackenzie's mind is all about the best that she can kind
wow.
of put together to make it work for her. So she's when I say girly, girly, she's really girly. She's
okay.
Pretty girly.
So let me ask you this question. I don't have girls, which is probably a good thing now that I think about it. Now that I listen to y'all, I don't have girls. But here's the funny thing that I wonder about. I have friends, and there's one particular friend I'm thinking of who has a daughter. And the friend, the mom, is extremely girly girl, really pretty, you know, just such a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a daughter that's now a junior in high school. Ooh, I say hood as they get.
Oh, no.
I had to remove her off my Facebook page, off my Twitter page, because And so then I asked the mom one day, we saw each other and just kind of casual. I was like, hey, what is your child doing? She's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, okay, obviously you don't follow her on Twitter. But it is amazing to me. And this mother is one of those who has very fine taste, very fine taste. And so obviously she does those same things for her daughter. So she will have on Coach shoes, Juicy Couture, but then we'll have her hair one side in a ponytail and the other side just frizzed out because she didn't finish flat ironing it. And she's okay with that. Just she'll have the pink polish, but then she'll have it with some boy's name across it.
Or, but does she do the does she do the hoochie nail with the one finger painted and the other four the same?
Okay.
So y'all taught me something. What is a hoochie nail?
That's what the hoochie nail is. The hoochie nail is where you have the one nail painted, and then the rest of them are like the same color. That's the hoochie nail.
I went to the nail place the other day, and I was so indecisive. I had 3 or 4 bottles, and so I take them all with me because at some point I'm gonna get a ta da.
Okay. Right. That's the color. right.
But in the meantime, the little lady says to me, you'll get one nail in this color and, right, one, and the rest in this color.
Right.
I said, no. I will not. But thank you for asking. And I'm like, right, what made her think that?
Right.
Well, but obviously there's moms out there who like it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Yeah. But I'm saying I am the mom that learned from my mom. And I don't know if you all are going to tell your daughters this. I'm curious. You don't wear red fingernail polish.
Thank you. Do you know? Wait, let me tell you my story about the red fingernail polish.
Oh, you didn't know that?
You didn't know that?
You don't, what?
No,
Wait a minute. Okay. When do you not wear? Why don't you wear nails?
Okay.
Ever?
Right.
3-0?
Yes. Right. And let me tell you my story about my daughter. My daughter loves red fingernail polish. Uh-huh. And she begs me every time I go to the nail shop to give her red fingernail polish. And I keep telling her, no, Mackenzie, you can't do it. My mother-in-law took her to the nail shop. It was just getting ready to give her red fingernail polish. And Mackenzie said, no, if you do that, my mother will get mad. Because I was raised, a woman that wore red fingernail polish was a lady of the night. And that's what I heard when I was growing up. So I never was allowed to wear red. I don't wear red fingernail polish
to this
now.
Day.
I still don't wear.
Really?
Yeah, I still
okay,
don't
what
wear.
About on your toes?
Are
no,
your toes?
No,
maybe,
I don't.
But no. My mother said red fingernail polish before 30 is a sign of a loose woman.
Right, exactly.
What?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You loose, you don't have to advertise it on your nail.
Right.
But my mother was like, no.
Yes.
And my mom is old school. She is a lady, period. Right. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And that's kind of how she raised us.
Right.
To this day, my mother thinks it is inappropriate
to have
for you to stand in front of an audience with no sleeves on.
Yeah.
She's like, I know you didn't go to work like that.
Right.
Like, should I take my jacket off so your mother can just have a
jacket? Oh, she would have a right. Because I do a lot of presenting. I'm always up in front of people.
Right.
And I'll go by her house sometimes and would have left my jacket or sweater in the car. And she'll say, oh, you look so pretty. Where's your jacket?
Right.
I know you didn't do. And I'm just like, seriously? Like, she'll watch the news and the news anchors will have sleeves.
Right.
Be sleeveless. And she'll say, oh, God, they know better.
Right.
And she is not by any means snooty or any of that.
No.
It's just she has a very defined expectation of what a lady is and what a lady's not.
Right.
So that's interesting, Erica, that you.
I had no idea. But I was thinking about wearing red nail polish. And I told her she couldn't wear it until she was a big girl. So now I know she got to be a real big girl.
My mother used to wear it. And I would say, but Mom, you're wearing it. She says, I'm old. And
Right.
You will never see
me in red.
But you know, I will have to say one of the things that our girls have to fight with more than generations prior is society.
Right.
Mm. I mean, if you look at and see those things that are not just on television, but even at their schools, because they have other generations that are coming in and their parents are allowing them to do that, you know, peer pressure is something else. We had peer pressure as we were growing up. And again, I'm older than 5 and younger than 50, but whatever. And, you know, you were dealing with that. But these girls now, OMG.
Yeah.
I have to turn the channel. Sydney was going through a magazine, a local magazine, just yesterday. And there was an ad in there where they were advertising, I want to say that it's some sort of clothing line. Mm-hmm. But it was a guy and a girl who were on there. The guy had on just a pair of, like, boxer shorts. And the girl had on, like, some sleepwear. And she you know, mommy, look, he's with her and his neck. And I was like, girl, shut that magazine. Right. Now let's have a conversation. So society has a lot of what they're getting right now. They're being inundated on the internet, on television. That's why, you know, ITV don't ever get off of Nick Jr. I just putting it out there. We don't turn off Nick Jr. And if I'm watching something that all of a sudden some things change, we gotta turn that off because I want to be able to at least limit that. When she goes to school, that's a whole different thing. I got 8 hours that, you know, she's going to be influenced by some other stuff. And I'm one of those moms. I was not taught to teach. I was taught to drop off to a teacher and then pick her back up later. So I need to be able to, you know, just sort of hone that in. But they have they have so many things coming at them now that are okay in society. Think about when we were growing up. There were things that you didn't see that on TV.
Right.
You didn't hear those words.
Girls kissing girls.
What? You didn't see that sort of stuff, and now it's okay.
It's right. Okay.
You know, my daughter loves Disney Channel, so she watches a lot of Disney. But then I always do the TY7. So if it's older than, so she can't watch like iCarly, Victorious, all that junk, I won't let her watch. And even when she's watching like Shake It Up, I still will sit there with her and watch it. And if it says anything that sounds like, I'm like, click. Well, why did you? No, ma'am. I'm like, that's not what young girls should say. That's not how we act. That's not what we do. So you do have to really monitor what they're watching.
You do.
Even Michael, my little one, to say, that says TY7. I can't watch that. I'm like, well, thank you for self-monitoring yourself when it comes to the TV.
I have been so educated, informed, enlightened with this conversation. And I'm so sad we've got like 4 minutes and we haven't gotten to half of our topics. Because one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about, and maybe if y'all will agree to come back later, I would love to continue the conversation, but I want to talk about, you started there, Eric, and both of you kind of touched on a little bit, is the influence of media on your girls and their self-esteem. And what I mean specifically is, I was doing a little research for this topic. I started trying to find songs that were empowering for girls, that uplift, that made them think that their hair was okay, India RE.
Right.
That they could succeed, you know, in spite of all the negative influences and things around them. And one of the things I will say is there were several. I even tweeted about it, and I've got some great responses. Ladies Night, Miss Independent, Pretty Girl Rock, We Run the World, Single Ladies, Beautiful, I'm Every Woman, Superwoman, Respect, anything by Mary J. Blige, Cheetah Girls. But one of the things I did see over and over as I was looking and finding the lyrics to a lot of these songs is the empowerment came through a relationship with a man. And so that's one of the things that I would love to sit and talk with you all about at a later date. Just as a mom, how do you keep your girl rooted in her identity being about her and not tied to a man or even what society thinks of her? I did get a comment from Delta Sigma Theta about wearing red fingernail polish since 1991. Well, y'all an exception to the rule, right? Okay, so with that being said, before we go, ladies, Denisha, if you'll talk to us real quick about your event coming up.
Okay, so the Southwest Suburban Dallas of Jack and Jill will have their first annual Sapphire and Roses, a crowning event on April the 14th. At Lone Star Park, tickets are $60. We will be having a barbecue buffet, a silent auction, a wine pool, a hattitude contest. So come out there with your best soup cooler if you got it, with your hats. And then we'll also be, you know, betting on some races and seeing the horse races all day long. The event starts at 11 and we'll kind of wrap it up at 3, but you can stay until 6 and continue to watch races. So if you're interested in it, go to our Eventbrite website at www.sapphireandroses.eventbrite.com.
Awesome. Oh, right. I think the important part, though, to emphasize is it's a fundraiser.
It is a fundraiser. We are benefiting 3 well-known organizations just kind of here in the community. We're benefiting the American Diabetes Association, the local Dallas chapter. We're also benefiting Gateway Charter Academy, a school located over in the South Dallas area. And then the Jack and Jill Foundation, which is built on the development and leadership of young children. So awesome. Exciting.
Awesome.
We want you to come out.
Excited.
Definitely. Buy your tickets now.
$60.
So it's not like you're spending $60 to come race, look, the horse races. No. You're actually donating to a cause, an awesome cause. And then by, you know, just as an indirect benefit, you're going to also experience a wonderful meal, some great fellowship, as well as an attitude contest. Right. So This has been an awesome hour. If y'all didn't notice, we didn't even take a water break. And we were hustling, and we still didn't get it all in. So I really appreciate my awesome producer for letting us take that time to get through the show. Just know that these ladies will be invited back at another time. I wanted to leave you with this. I don't have any boys. I don't have any girls. I have boys. My mother said to me after I found out that second boy was coming, and I was like, boys pick their noses. And she said to me, God gives you the kids you're equipped to raise.
Mm.
And so I remind myself of that often, most often in the last 60 minutes with you all, that I don't think I'm equipped to raise a girl. But I certainly say that you all are, you are equipped, and I cannot wait to see how they manifest into such beautiful ladies, and I appreciate that. I will say to dads, to be in your daughter's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. And so I encourage that. I look forward to having the same dialogue with dads about daughters. Thanks again for tuning in to 60 Minutes. It's been another Mocha Mob Monday.